Welcome to the Harbor Fellowship Church Podcast.
I love to remind them that the day of your baptism is the second best day of your life. The first is the day that you come to know Jesus, and the second is the day that you get to tell everyone about it. In the year 1940, France had fallen into the power of the Axis powers. As a result, 350,000 British and French soldiers were stranded on the beaches of Dunkirk. To make matters worse, as one of the historians has said, they were quickly surrounded on three sides by enclosing forces that threatened imminent and total destruction. Needless to say, rescue seemed impossible. How do you get enough ships across the English Channel, let alone enough protection for those ships, in order to rescue 350,000 soldiers and all of their gear? It seemed impossible. And so they sent an SOS to England, hoping for a miracle. Now, in the midst of hoping for that miracle, a naval officer sent a famous message from Dunkirk over the channel to England, and it was three words long. But if not. But if not. The message was clearly understood by the English when they received it, that essentially the stranded troops were calling for deliverance from the Allies, but if a miracle of deliverance was not possible, this three-word message was a declaration. It was a line in the sand that they still would not give in or give up to the Nazis. They would be faithful. They would do the right thing, miracle or not. Our King Jesus told us multiple times that life is going to be hard being his disciples. Following him faithfully is not easy. Think about it. In a world that hates Jesus, his followers are going to be hated too. Or in a world where faith is scoffed at, people who live by faith in Jesus are going to be scoffed at too. In a world that rejects the Word of God, people who live by the standard of the Word of God will be looked at strangely. And in a world that prioritizes comfort and wealth, people who set their eyes on eternity are not going to feel at home. Jesus said that whoever wants to be his disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow him. The Christian life is not going to be a bed of roses. It's going to be cross-bearing. In other words, our faith is going to be tested in this life. Guaranteed. Now, we've been making our way through Hebrews chapter 11. The people who this book was written to, this letter was written to, were people who knew what cross-bearing was like. It was a group of Jewish believers, followers of Jesus the Messiah, but there were other Orthodox Jews who were pressuring them to walk away from Jesus, to drift from Jesus and go back to the days when they didn't know him as Messiah. The pressure was on of their faith. And the message in this book, Hebrews, is don't walk away. Don't walk away from Jesus. He's better than anything in life. Put your trust in him and endure, whether you're delivered from these trials or not. We've seen example after example in this hall of faith of people who did the hard thing and followed Jesus when it was not popular, when it was the hardest thing to do. Think about verses 25 and 26, where it talks about Moses. It says this, that he chose to be mistreated with the people of God rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He chose the harder thing. Then it goes on, it says, he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt. Why? Because he was looking forward, looking ahead to his reward. He endured because a reward was coming. And now today we come to the end of this chapter, the Hall of Faith, and God is going to bring us before the honorable mention. Okay, there are some that are named briefly, but others, we don't even know what their names are. Examples of people who were put into the pressure test of faith. They were in situations where following God was the hard thing to do. And rather than capitulate, they chose to trust and treasure God no matter what the outcome was. And as we go through this passage, we're going to see two types of people. People who, when they trusted God, God delivered. But we're also going to see a group of people that trusted God by faith, and God did not deliver them the way we would have expected. But no matter what the outcome, these people chose to trust and treasure God no matter what. And so this question that this passage is going to bring before us is this. What kind of faith does God reward? Okay, what kind of faith does God reward in the end? And this is what we're going to see. You'll see it on the screen. God rewards faith that trusts him and treasures him no matter what. Delivered or not, miracle or not, God rewards those who trust him and treasure him. That's the big idea of this passage today. And again, we're going to see these two types of people, people who God did deliver and people who God didn't the way we would expect. And my prayer for us this morning is that as we look into a future and see days ahead, and you might even be living them now, where following Jesus is going to become less and less popular, more and more difficult, where the temptation to conform to our world is just going to increase, and where the pressure on our faith is only going to be turned up. My prayer is that we would become people, as we are encouraged by this passage, that trusts and treasures God no matter what. No matter what, delivered or not, miracle or not. So we're going to jump into this passage, but we need God's help. We need God's help this morning, so let's pray. Jesus, we know that these are your words, ultimately. They are straight from your heart to us. So we ask that they would make their mark. We need your help this morning, and so we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's read starting in Hebrews 11, verse 32. Keep in mind, our big idea is this. God rewards faith that trusts and treasures him no matter what. Verse 32, it says this, "And what more shall I say?" I don't have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. women received back their dead, raised to life again. Let's pause there. Look at the ways in the passage that God delivered his people when he chose to trust them. It's almost too much. It's almost too much. Remember Gideon. There's 135,000 men, and God says, go against them with 300 men. And not swords, but pots and flames. What? And God brings about a victory. Or remember Barak, when the unlikely woman wins the battle because God delivered their general into her hands. Or remember when Samson finally comes to the end of his life and he realizes his need for God and he says, God, just give me strength one more time to honor you, one more time to put you first. And God does, and an entire pagan temple falls to the ground. Remember Elijah. He stands alone by himself on one side of this valley, following God with 450 priests of Baal on the other side. And they're saying, Elijah, give up. Come on. Like, you're all alone from here. Haven't you had enough? Leave your God and follow Baal. And Elijah says, no. My God can do this. And God rains down fire from heaven. Remember Daniel. Pray to the king, Daniel, not to God. And God delivers him from the results of being thrown into the lion's den when he chose to be faithful to God and not to the king. What God wants us to see here is that he is not bound by the laws of physics. He's not constrained by the connivings of men. Armies do not threaten him, and death bows to him even when it takes the first strike. And so this is what God wants us to see here. God rewards faith that trusts him for deliverance. That's the first point. God rewards faith that trusts him for deliverance. Now, we might read this, and we might actually feel more discouraged than encouraged. Like, how can I compete with the faith of someone like Daniel or Elijah? Like, for crying out loud, my faith flinches at times. How is it that I could ever have a faith like their own? They probably just knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that God was going to show up and do the miraculous. If I'm honest, like, that's not where my heart is most of the time when I'm crying out to God in faith. And I don't know what's going to happen next. Here's what we need to remember about every one of these men and women. When they actually were in the moment where they demonstrated faith, when they were in the thick of it, all that they saw was impossible odds. Like we have the benefit of being on the other side and knowing what God, how God would work and the miracle that he would bring about. But in that moment, before God delivered, they didn't know. They had no idea. But they trusted. So put yourself in their position for a moment and think about the things that God delivered them from. Put yourself in their position. Kingdoms hunted them. Injustice harassed them. Lions hounded them. Flames endangered them. Swords threatened them. Nations tormented them. Weakness tired them. Death devoured them. And in the moments before God brought ultimate deliverance, their faith probably felt pretty small. They were men and women just like you and me. Think about it. Gideon was afraid. Barak was unsure. Samson had a temper. Jephthah was foolish. David, Samson, Samuel, they all had their moments where their feet were made of clay, just like mine are sometimes, and just like yours are sometimes. But notice that the text doesn't say through extraordinary faith or through doubtless faith or for exceedingly strong faith. It just says through faith, simple trust. Simple trust. They just trusted God for deliverance, and he did. You see, God working miraculously, don't miss this, okay? God working miraculously on the behalf of his people, it's not dependent on how fearless or unflinching our faith is. It's dependent on whether or not it gives God enough glory, the maximum glory. Our faith, it's not about the size of our faith. It's about the size of our God. And God's deliverance will come when he sees it's going to prioritize his glory. It's going to maximize his glory. And so when God's people in simple and in sometimes small faith just cry out to him for deliverance, and when he knows that this is going to give him the most glory, he delivers. He does. He's done it before, and he can do it again. God rewards faith that trusts him for deliverance. God, what seems impossible to me is not impossible to you. I trust that if this is your will, you can show up and do what I just cannot see right now. You can. This is what these people knew. But they also knew that just because God can deliver miraculously doesn't mean he always will. It doesn't. They knew that if God would be most glorified by their deliverance, he would deliver them, so they trusted him for it. But if God was to be more glorified by their deaths, proving how much of a treasure God actually is, even more precious than their lives, God would withhold his deliverance from them. They didn't know what God would choose, but they chose to trust. No matter the outcome, right to the end. And God rewarded them for it. He did. You remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They're a great example of this. They're probably who this passage is talking about, where it says that they quenched the fury of the flame, right? It's a famous story. These three exiles are in the palace of the courts of the king, and the pressure is put on their faith. Bow down and worship this statue that the king has made. Don't worship God, or face being thrown into the fiery furnace. Okay, that's rough. But they chose to be faithful to God. Do you remember what they said? We read this in Daniel chapter 3. They say this: King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But don't miss this. Verse 18, it says this: but even if he does not. Does that sound familiar? But even if he does not, we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. When the naval officer sent that message from Dunkirk to England, he was quoting Daniel 3. And people were biblically literate enough to know exactly what he was talking about. Miracle or not, we will not give in or give up our faith. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego prioritized obeying God, even if it meant death. And so they said, They responded by faith, whether deliverance or in dying, salvation or slaughter, miracle or not, we will trust him. We trust him. And you know what? God did deliver, but only after they were thrown in the fire. Only after the flames were lapping at their legs. The very last moment. In all of these examples in verses 32 to 35, God showed that he rewards faith that trusts him for deliverance. And we can't miss this. They trusted him for deliverance before they were ever delivered. Before they were ever delivered. Days will come, and maybe you're already living them, when there's going to be immense pressure to treasure something or someone other than Jesus, or more than Jesus, when we feel the temptation to drift from closeness to him. Our world wants us to deny what God's word says about things like marriage being between a man and a woman alone. Or the world wants us to deny the way God defines family units, or love not being defined as lust, or life beginning at conception and death being in the hands of God and not our own. The world would love us to ignore those things. The pressure to drift from the Lord in these ways, it's only going to grow more and more, where we might even find ourselves in days to come saying, God, if I'm faithful to you, I might lose my job. Or God, if I'm faithful to you, then I might have to take a pay cut. And how am I going to provide for my family in that way? Or God, if I'm faithful to you, then I'm going to lose friends and maybe even family. Or God, if I'm faithful to you, I know life is going to get a lot more lonely. So what do we do? God wants to prepare our hearts today and know God rewards faith that trusts him for deliverance. It's not a matter of having faith if God can deliver us, right? We have all of the evidence in the book. But it's a matter of choosing to trust God in those moments and be faithful to him, whether he delivers us or not. That's what he's calling us to. But we can't manufacture this faith in our own hearts and lives, right? All of us, if we're being honest, looks at that type of faith and we go, I can't do that. I've tried, but at times my faith does flinch. In those moments, we need to pray this prayer, God, just help me trust you for deliverance. Miracle or not, help me trust you. When I'm tempted to take the easy route of unfaithfulness to you, please just remind me how worth it you are. And give me this courage to trust you. God honors prayers like that. Why wouldn't he? God rewards faith that trusts him for deliverance. As we move to the second part of this passage, as we continue in verse 35, the second part of it, this is what we're going to see, the second thing. God rewards faith that treasures him, even if he doesn't deliver. God rewards faith that treasures him even if he doesn't deliver. You see, these trials or even the seeming tragedies of this life that we are going to experience, it's not the end of the story. It's not. God has a reward in store for those who don't look for their reward today, but look towards eternity for it. And so we read that while in the first part of this passage, God brought deliverance, look at the end of verse 35, there were others who were tortured. They weren't delivered. Refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. What a statement. That's what God says. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised. Wow. It's incredible. If freedom from prison meant denying Jesus, they chose the chains. If having a home and a stable income meant unfaithfulness to Christ, they chose poverty. If escaping execution meant denying Jesus, these men and women, they chose the sword. And by choosing Jesus over the world, they would show and demonstrate just how precious a treasure he is. If they got Jesus, all of their suffering would be worth it in the end. They knew it. And by this, God was so glorified. They treasured him above everything else, not their freedom, not their comfort, not even their lives. God rewards faith that treasures him, even if he doesn't deliver. Their reward might not be in this life, but a greater reward is coming in eternity. Remember back to verse 6. Look at it with me. Just go back a little bit. It says this, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists." Okay? In other words, that God alone is God and he alone is worthy of glory. And look how it goes. It says, "And that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." In other words, he's going to be good. He's going to be good to those who live for him and seek him. And he's going to reward them. You see, treasuring Jesus, prioritizing his glory above all things is actually our greatest good in the end. And we're starting to see what this promised reward actually looks like. Did you notice that? In verse 35, it says, they refused to be released. They didn't take the easy escape. They refused so that they might gain a better resurrection. You know, there are some verses that I think are just a gift, that God, like all of the verses in Scripture are a gift, but some especially that God didn't have to say. The truth of them would still be real, whether he said it or not. But one of my favorite just verses that are just a gift from God comes from 2 Corinthians 4:17. It says this, "Our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." Don't miss that. Our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. I love how John Piper puts it. He says this, "Not only is all your affliction momentary, not only is all your affliction light in comparison to eternity and the glory there, but all of it is totally meaningful. Every millisecond of your pain from fallen nature or fallen man, every millisecond of your misery in the path of obedience is producing a peculiar glory that you will get because of that suffering. Whether cancer or criticism, slander or sickness, it wasn't meaningless. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says that my light and momentary, lifelong, total affliction, it's doing something. It's not meaningless. It's not. It's working for you an eternal weight of glory. Therefore, do not lose heart. But take these truths, all the ones that you've heard, and day by day focus on them. Preach them to yourself every morning. Get alone with God and preach His word into your mind until your heart sings with confidence that you are new and cared for. Wow. God rewards faith that treasures Him even if He doesn't deliver. God, I know that someday you will turn my temporal tragedies, my temporal trials, into eternal triumphs. You're going to do it. This life is long and hard, but it's not the end of the story. And so, God, whether I face in this life triumph or tragedy, mountain or valley, whether I'm saved or I'm slain, whether delivered here or delivered home to heaven, I will take you at your word, God, that a better resurrection is coming. It's on its way. An eternal weight of glory. Why? Because God rewards faith that treasures Him and trusts Him, even if He doesn't deliver on this side of eternity. You know, there are lots of false teachers that would love us to believe that following Jesus and being His disciple means an easy life. You can live your best life now, Christian, they say. Sound familiar? They say that if you have enough faith, you won't face hardship. Your faith won't be put to the test. Your pockets will be lined with cash. Your breakthroughs will come when you just say the word. Healing will happen if you just believe and command it to be. Miracles are yours if you know it to be true somehow. But friends, that's nowhere in the Word of God. It's not true. And in fact, this heresy distorts a biblical theology of faith and turns it into this game of having confidence in confidence alone. It moves faith into just believing hard enough. This prosperity gospel not only leads people to falsely believe what salvation is and where it's found, but it also leads people to trust in faith and not in Jesus. Do you see it? Think about how hopeless that is. If you're just trusting in faith, you're just believing hard enough, what do you do when the miracle doesn't come? Just pull up your socks and try harder? Believe deeper. We are not trusting in faith. Biblical rock solid faith is trusting in a person, God Himself. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. You'll face jeers. You might lose your job for following Jesus. You might lose friends and family for choosing Jesus. Who knows? Like the people in this passage, you might even face imprisonment in the days to come. Pressure to drift from Jesus might someday be as strong as death. And in the face of all of that, Jesus says, But take heart. He says, trust me. Lay your hope here. Believe me when I say, I have overcome this world. Did you notice it doesn't say faith has overcome this world? Jesus has. Wow. And he did this when he died on the cross. He took our sin to the grave and he left it there. He rose victoriously, triumphing over death. We don't have faith in faith. We have faith in the risen, death-defying, sin-slaying King Jesus, who is coming back for people who spend their lives trusting and treasuring him no matter what. He's coming back. This isn't the end of the story. And on that day, he will be our great reward. We will get him. God rewards faith that treasures him even if he doesn't deliver. Maybe today, God is revealing something in your heart that you don't treasure him the way he deserves. There's other things that have become way too important. Dreams for the future, your job, I don't know. Only God can reveal that to you. But if it's taking the place of Jesus in your heart, then confess that to him this morning. God, I know I have not treasured you the way you deserve. Help me. I want to treasure you like this, even if you don't deliver me from these hard situations. But in my own strength, I know I can't. So God, help me. Help me treasure you and choose you no matter the outcome. Would we pray this regularly? God, no matter what happens, if life gets excruciatingly hard, or if it feels like you're not fulfilling your promises to me in the here and now, no matter how high the temperature is turned up on my faith, God, help me. I need you. Help me to trust you and treasure you the way you deserve. Or maybe you realize today that you've actually never trusted Jesus before. You realize that this hasn't made sense yet. But today, it can all become clear to you. Verse 6 says this, without faith, it's impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You can only be rewarded if you're earnestly seeking him, and you can't earnestly seek him if you don't know him. But you can know him today. He's spoken to you through his word. And he's calling you to give up your sin, confess your sin to him, turn away from it, and know that when Jesus died on the cross, he did it in your place, and he conquered it in a way you never could. Just say, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know following you is not going to make this life any easier. But I choose you, Jesus, because I know someday I'll have you. I'll see you. I'll be with you forever. And then any hardship I ever experience in this life for your sake, it'll all be worth it. God rewards faith that treasures and trusts him no matter what. He rewards faith that trusts him and treasures him no matter what. Delivered here or delivered home to heaven, miracle or not. In the days ahead, we're going to face this pressure to capitulate to culture, to choose the world over Jesus. but by God's grace and only in his strength would we be people who trust and treasure him no matter what. Let's pray. Jesus, we cannot do this in our own strength. Life is long and it's hard. And following you means cross-bearing. But we thank you, Jesus, that you bore the cross for us. And we thank you that by putting our faith in you, our rock-solid salvation, our eternal reward is secure. And we thank you for that. So God, help us, we pray, by your Holy Spirit, to trust and treasure you no matter what, whether delivered here or delivered home, miracle or not, we trust you. We treasure you even today. In Jesus' matchless name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today for another encouraging message from God's Word. Our prayer is that you have been built up and spurred on to take the next step in your walk with Jesus Christ. At Harbor, our vision is to glorify God as we share the gospel, make disciples, start churches, and multiply leaders. Our mission is to see everyone in our church walking with someone from disenchantment to discipleship. If you have questions about who Jesus is, would like to be prayed for, or if you would like to talk with one of our pastors, please visit our website at harborfellowship.com. We would love to connect with you. If you have questions about the ministries of Harbor Fellowship Church, would like training in how to share the gospel, or if the Lord is prompting you to support the ministries of Harbor financially, please visit our website, harborfellowship.com. Join us next time as we once again open God's Word together and take the next step from disenchantment to discipleship. This podcast is a production of Harbor Fellowship Church in St. Catharines, Ontario.